the saddest thing about this whole story, from my perspective at least, is that she was coming to the University of Illinois this weekend to work with the library, main library, in presenting and giving her papers and materials to the library for a collection. It'll be a wonderful research source for people who want to research that part of American history, the World War II era, and specifically how the lives of Japanese Americans and how they were impacted by the war. We're anticipating that's still going to happen, but Iva won't be here to do it. And that's the sad thing. She was really looking forward to coming here, and I was looking forward to seeing her again. I had seen her in January when she got the World War II Veterans Committee Citizenship Award, which was meant also a lot to her, because that was really vindication. This is an organization of 100,000 World War II veterans, and they really then...
It's sort of like reclaiming her American citizenship.
It did, and it meant a lot to her because, you know, she used to take medicine and food and blankets and things like that to the POWs in Tokyo, spending her own money. And in violation of Japanese law, she would sneak the stuff into them. You know, so she really was a patriot.
About the collection, will that be done at a later date now? Or
I think it'll be done during a later date once we are past everything, and I believe the family feels that this is a good place for this to be. I know she was very supportive of it, and it'll be done well. You know, I think it'd be a great collection of materials.
What kind of information is in that collection?
Well, I think there's something like 30 or 40 boxes of correspondence, other memorabilia, things that were associated with her life in Japan and during that period. But a lot of correspondence back and forth, you know, and a lot of stuff that's been declassified now and has been made available from the National Archives. You know, a lot of letters written by the FBI back and forth to the Justice Department, really damning stuff, which pretty well indicates they were out to get her. And that's just really, that's going to be an interesting thing to research through.
And has there been a lot of demand for that research?
I think there will be because, there's a major film in production now about her life, and my objective is to work on a book explaining the whole process that I followed and helping her get a pardon. So I think there's a lot, there'll be a lot of materials there that'll be really interesting for somebody who's interested in doing that and doing research on that era. Yeah.
How did Iva Torgeri live out her life before and after the pardon? And did the pardon, what did the pardon mean to her?
The pardon meant a lot to her because it was vindication of that she did nothing wrong, and also that the fact that she was convicted on perjured testimony. And it meant a very great deal to her, though she remained a very private individual, did not like publicity. And I always told her, I said, you know, other women, Iva, might be going on Oprah and talking about how they were messed over by the government. And, you know, but she was not that way. She never bitter toward the U.S. government at all about any of this. She did tell me, though, she could never forgive those two men for what they did to her.
And she never did.
And never did, huh? No.
Where does this story stand in your career?
I think it's one of the... my favorite stories because it, as I tell students here, it's an indication that history is not something that's dead. It's very alive. If you go back 30 or 40 years, you can actually have an impact on the present or on the future if you go back and re-examine stories that people thought were finished when, in fact, they're not finished, you know. So I it's a very important story for me, and it's also says something about the role of journalism in our society today, that it can be a force for good, and you can actually accomplish something and right wrongs.